I've been praying how I can deliver a word that will connect us to where we are and where God is taking us. And man, when I think about it, it just really kind of brings this whole sense of urgency. And that kind of is kind of what the writer is saying here. In the book of Romans 1 and 14, this is the Amplified Version. And Paul is writing this to the church at Rome. And he is saying it with a lot of energy. He says, I have a duty to perform and a debt to pay. And this, you know, when he's the one that talks about grace all the time, and it's not by works, but he's saying here, I have a duty to perform and a debt to pay, both to Greeks and to the barbarians, the cultured and the uncultured, both to the wise and the foolish. And then he doesn't stop there, but he goes on and says, so for my part, I am ready and eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. This dude was says, man, church is not like I have, you have to drag me there, but I'm eager to come because I've got something to say to you. The 16th and final verse. He says, I'm not, help me out, ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And we jump on because it says, from this wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to first the Jew and also the Greek. I want to take a subject based upon the fact that Paul had such a past that he said that the gospel saved my life. And I have an obligation, I have a duty, and I'm eager to share the gospel with the world. How many of you all feel that same kind of way? Come on, give him a praise in this house. Thank you, God. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. Bless us today. Speak through us. Someone came with a genuine need. So, Father, will your will be done in our lives today? Meet every need specifically. I thank you, God, for those that are here for their first time. May they be encouraged. May they be blessed. May they be uplifted. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Now, give God your best praise because he is an amazing God. Hallelujah. When I look at this passage, and it makes me recognize that God has been good to us. And one thing about our testimony, even from last week, my wife and I sharing, the fact is where God has brought us from. And when we look back at how far God has brought us, it makes us want to pass it forward. And some of you all were commenting on the very fact that, we had no idea we came from such humble beginnings. But if you talk around, most people didn't start off in their where they are right now, right? You know, most of us have humble beginnings, but God. And that's why, you know, if there should be a people that praise God, that lift God us up, it ought to be us. If anybody ought to be excited about sharing the gospel, it ought to be us. Because that's how Paul felt. When he looked at his life and saw where he used to be, he began to think and says, God, in you I live, in you I move, and in you I have my being. And I thank you for all that you've done. So if I could just, you know, let you know that Paul had a thankful heart. One particular passage says that, and I love this passage. This is the month of Thanksgiving, so we focus on Thanksgiving, and we did last month. But when I think about the Bible says, it says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. It didn't say for all things, but what? In all, in whatever situation I'm in, I've made up my mind, I'm going to give you thanks. And some of us are in some situations right now, but we've got to learn how to give God thanks in the midst of it. Most of Paul's letters to the churches were written while he was in jail. But so therefore, I don't care what you've been in the midst of or what you're in the midst of right now, you can still have something to give God praise about. Can we give God a good praise in the house? Because he is a good God. He's a really good God. So therefore, I've had to receive an attitude adjustment. And my dad used to give me attitude adjustments when I was off and had a bad attitude about something, especially if I didn't get something that I wanted, and you stick your lip out. He says, come in here, Jerry Wayne. Let's have a conversation. And by the time I left, my attitude was better. It's amazing what happens. God, too, talks to us that we can have attitude adjustments. And he began to remind me, son, as good as I've been to you, as far as I've brought you from and opened the doors for you, you ought to be more thankful and not focusing on what you don't have. Can it get a good amen? So one thing that I've promised myself this month that I would just give God glory would not be complaining one bit. So if you hear me complaining, will you all remind me? Because I'm going to remind you too, hallelujah. God has been too good to us to be complaining. He is a good God and he deserves our praise, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I'm learning to move from bitterness towards praise, because we can become bitter and get caught up in the things that aren't going just right, but from bitterness towards thanksgiving and toward praise. And this is what I believe that the writer is sharing with us, because he also says in the book of Ephesians, and let me just give you my first point on this, because I think it's important for us to grasp it. So when God has done something amazing for us, and when we've been forgiven of much, I want to let you know that the forgiven forgive. Let me say it one more time. I can give someone grace because I've had grace given to me. I can forgive someone that's wronged me. Why? Because I've also wronged some people. Hallelujah in the house. Look what 1 Timothy says. 1 Timothy says in the 1 and 13. It says this, and it's coming on. It says, even though I was once a, help me out, a blasphemer and a persecutor and a what? Did you all know that Paul, at the time his name was Saul, had a serious history? Man, he used to beat down the church folk. He used to beat, y'all got quiet in the house. You know, he used to beat down church folks. Not only used to beat down church folks, he also, and I like this, he also used to put them in chains and take them to jail. And then one time, he was an accomplice in the murder of one of the church deacons. Man, how many of you all would like to have him as a part of your church? And say, man, he's been forgiven. You say, well, he's been forgiven, but I don't trust him. Hallelujah. Keep an eye on him. Hallelujah. But can you imagine his testimony? And this is his testimony. He says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I used to fight. Some of us used to fight. Some of us still fight. He says, I was shown mercy. Why? Because I acted in ignorance and in unbelief. And then he goes on, and can I say, tell you this, is that, see, that's how sometimes when we come to church and there's a testimony and you don't really understand where that person comes from and why they act the way they do, you know, many times it's based upon what God has forgiven them of, and they get happy. It was one lady, you know, one particular time, we were at Southeast High School having a church. And she was really loud, and like really loud, almost annoying loud, almost. And then later on, she came a little closer to me, and she says, man, I got a testimony. I'm thinking like, okay. She said, man, God is good. I said, you know, obviously, I'm thinking to myself, because you are super loud today. And then she says, we actually gave her the mic. You see why I wear a scarf on my neck all the time? And I was like saying, okay. And she says, I used to be a prostitute. And then she went on to say that not only did I used to be a prostitute, two men solicited my services. I was with them. Long story short, they took me to a deserted place outside with some water near a beach. And after they raped me repeatedly, they took a knife and slit my throat, left me for dead, and was going to shoot me in the back. And I heard him say, don't shoot her because she's already dead. And then she said that somehow somebody was passing, and they saw me bleeding to death on the beach. And they picked me up and took me to emergency. And now I'm healed, and God saved me, gave me an occupation. And she says, I'm giving God glory, giving God praise. I looked at that girl and said, go help yourself. Don't even worry about who's looking. Go on and give God praise. If we would really tell how far God has brought us, man, I think church would really be different. Can I get a good amen? Give God a shout if he's brought you from a long way. So when I look at her and recognize that, man, God has done an amazing work in your life, and we owe him the praise. So the forgiven, when you've been forgiven much, you're willing to forgive much. Can it get a good amen? Amen. So it's important for us, and even for some of the ones here today, that you struggle even during this time. Why? Because, you know, one study finds that there are several people that commit suicide between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And in fact, they say more people commit suicide between that period than the other 11 months combined. And oftentimes it's because, you know, sometimes we just want to isolate ourselves. We say, well, I should be happy. And sometimes we see television shows and say, this is how it should be, and it's not like that at your house. Or it could be the fact that you've lost a loved one and you were reminded of them, that they're not there that week. But can I let you know that the enemy wants to destroy you? He wants to kill you. He wants to absolutely take your life. Can you relate to that? He wants to take your life. I believe it's an attack of the enemy. He doesn't want you to focus on the very good things of life, because every good and perfect gift comes from God. And I think that when we wake up in the morning, we ought to focus our attention upon Him and begin to give Him praise and glory. Because if you don't praise Him, you open yourself up to a whole lot of thoughts that really aren't yours. No wonder the Bible says, you know, that I will bless the Lord. Help me out. Why do I need to bless Him at all times? Because I need to remind myself of how good He's been to me, how far He's brought me, how many doors He's opened up for me, how He turned my darkness into day. Thank you, Jesus. Because there is an enemy that wants to destroy you, and sometimes he wants to destroy you by sowing the seed of unthankfulness. He'll sow the seed of bitterness. Bitterness, unthankfulness, and unforgiveness. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen people on that, but if you want to see a murderous spirit, find someone that's bitter about everything. I mean, bitter about it. There's nothing good. They don't think about anything God's done. It's only, this is what they did to me. Can I let you know that is not God's best for us? But I, you know, used to just be a saying, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank You for saving me. That needs to be our thought process. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done. Come on, bless Him one more time. He is God. Instead of having this entitlement and this unthankful attitude, the seed of bitterness is a challenge. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 15. It says this. It says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. It says, watch out that no poison root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Can I let you know that I believe that bitterness and unforgiveness is the poison root that grows up in many lives and they end up taking their life? Are y'all with me today? So when that seed is sown, you've got to uproot. That's one seed you've got to uproot with quickness. You know, because when someone, and sometimes people are so bitter in what they say, it said poisonous, they'll come to you and it won't take much, but they'll put a bitter seed in your heart about somebody that you love. That's why this scripture says, be careful. It's a warning. Watch out. Don't let anyone sow a bitter seed in your life, and that would cause you to grow a root. Sometimes you wonder, and I said this earlier today, because Tyler Perry, you know, wrote the diary of a... Can I let you know that some things happened in some sisters' lives? And he said, wow, there's something about this bitterness thing that we can relate to. Can I let you know, black women aren't the only mad folks. Hallelujah. I'm just letting you know that there are a lot of bitter people, but can I also let you know that there is a gateway, there is a segue from being bitter to having demonic activity in your life. The Bible says, don't give way or give place to the devil, topos to the devil. When you hold on to anger and bitterness, you give place to the devil. Are y'all with me today? Whew, am I doing okay? Some people that want to be set free from demonic activity, it's got to start inside of you, in your heart. And if you are angry, sometimes when people come to me and they say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me, you know, because, you know, I either want to get this done or I want to make this progress in life and so forth and so on. And then sometimes God will ask me, ask them if there's anybody they need to forgive. And sometimes I'll ask them and say, I didn't want to talk about that. I just want you to, don't you got some oil somewhere? Pray, lay some oil on me. But what has to happen is this, is that God has to deal with our hearts. So can I share this next point, which is tremendously important for me? You know, when we talk about the forgiven know how to forgive. Can I share with you that the ones that haven't learned how to forgive are usually those that haven't received God's forgiveness? They've not walked in forgiveness. They don't understand forgiveness like Paul, because when you know you were messed up, you know that you couldn't fix yourself, and you know that, you know, regardless of what you try, you always fell short, and you know that you did some things to some people that you can't take back. You wish you hadn't done it, but you did. And God, you know, when you used to beat the saints, when you used to put people in jail, put them in chains, and then participate in the murder of an innocent individual, you need some forgiveness. That's why the Bible says, you know, for those that forgive much, they understand, because they had to be forgiven of much. Follow me here. Religious people are the ones that say, we don't really need forgiveness because we really didn't do that much wrong. They read the passage and said, well, they that are well need no physician. They thought that Jesus was talking about their well. He was like saying, if you think in your mind that you don't need a physician, you can't get help, and I am the great physician. Only those that say, I need you, Lord, and I can't do it by myself. There's a spirit of religion that we've got to be mindful of. Is anybody in the house today? We've got to be mindful that God brought us from a long way, and it wasn't because we did so much good, but it was because of God's grace. Are you with me in the house? Hallelujah. There's a passage, and I love this other passage because, you know, the writer was, Paul was writing it, and he says this in the 15th verse. He says, so, he says that, and I want you to grasp it as well. And this is 1 Timothy, and if they've got it, they can go back there. So, he says, for my part, 1 Timothy? Yeah. He says, so, this is a trustworthy saying. Go to the 14th verse. 14th verse. Go to that one. Thank you. Man, it's so nice to have people with technology. Hallelujah. It says, oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. Why was he generous and gracious? He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Jesus Christ. In other words, I deserved death and hell, but it was God who poured out his abundant grace and mercy on me and filled me with faith and love that comes only from Jesus Christ. 15th verse. And he says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? He didn't come to save the church. That's why we've got to reach out to who? I pray you all bring some good sinners to church next Sunday. Find the best sinner you can. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Saul was one of those, man. He came in, and when he came to church and he said, this is what I needed, the gospel, the good message. You mean that I can be forgiven of everything that I've ever done, past sins, present sins, and future sins? I sign me up. I want to know about this Jesus Christ. It's a good message. It's a gospel message. It's a life-giving message. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I what? Wow. Can I share this with you? And this is along the same point, because I think it's important that the forgiven forgive, but also those that really understand forgiveness receive God's forgiveness. And let me see if I can explain that. Oftentimes, we hold things over people's head because we really haven't received forgiveness. We're so hard on others because we ourselves haven't received forgiveness. And one of the first people we need to forgive when we receive God's forgiveness is ourselves. Guilt, condemnation, shame. I mean, it can overtake us. And if we're not careful, we'll be down and depressed and feeling a certain way because we need to release ourselves. How many, you know, you need to release yourselves. There's some things you can't change. You can't, I don't care how you did what you did back then. You can't change it. So you've got to learn how to release yourself. Anybody in the house? Because some people struggle, well, I did wrong and I'll never accomplish anything. Man, God forgave you. And he threw your mess in the sea of forgetfulness, never to pull it up again. And I give him praise. I give him glory for that. Thank you, Jesus. So will you say this with me? I need to forgive myself and receive God's forgiveness. God wants us to receive his forgiveness because it makes a tremendous difference. Because, you know, when I think about God's forgiveness and what it means to me, because I was messed up in life and I had a lot of things going on, and it wasn't until I learned how to receive God's forgiveness until I was able to forgive others. I remember my mom. She and I went through some butting heads when I was a teenager, you know. And some teenagers might be in the house, and you might be in a situation similar. But man, I couldn't go where I wanted to go. Couldn't party as long as I wanted to party. In fact, couldn't even play no Michael Jackson and stuff in the house. She was like, "This is a holy house. And we ain't playing none of that stuff. Not on my stuff. Not me. No, we sanctify this house." Man, I didn't like that because I wasn't saved. And then I couldn't party either. What? Afros was in. You're going to get a haircut. That's why I'm growing one now, praise the Lord. That's not the only reason, hallelujah. Whew, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But there were little things that crop up, and you think you should do this and that. And man, this anger grew up, and then it became bitterness. And before I knew it, I didn't really want to talk to her. I was distancing myself from her, you know. And I went to school and away, and I was glad to be away because I didn't want to hear no stuff. And then it wasn't until some years later that I was preaching on forgiveness, because I usually preach on forgiveness once a year. And I was preaching the first year of ministry. And as I was preaching on forgiveness and praying for other people, the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, he says, "Son, you need to forgive your mother." And I'm thinking like, I don't want to do that. And because when the Holy Spirit talks to you about something, he's like, he began to talk to me about, he says, and then this is what really changed my whole thought process. He says, "Until you forgive your mother," and we had about probably 30 people at the time, 40, something like that. And it says, "Until you forgive your mother, your ministry will never go any farther." I was like, but how can it go further if the one leading it hasn't been healed? How can it go further if he's been wounded and taking on that wound? Because what he would give out in the pulpit would be wounded stuff. I left the church that day and came to my mom's, where she was. She was in her office at the time, and I, because it was on a Sunday, so it was a church office that particular time, and I fell on my knees. I said, "Mom, I've been bitter toward you." She said, "Yes, son, I know something's been wrong with you for a long time." she says, I said, "Mom, I want you to forgive me. And I'm going to do better. I'm not going to have an attitude all the time." And then you know what she did? She says, just come right here, son. I just want to bless you." Man, as I kneel, I'm going to be straight too. I'm going to be strong. As I kneel before her, she stretched her hand out and prophesied blessings over my life. And it was amazing that a freedom took place, and we were embracing each other, and the church began to grow. Can I let you know that it's something about unforgiveness that will stop you from moving when God, for what God has for you? But when you operate in forgiveness, you're going to grow. You will progress. Blessings are going to come your way. Somebody give God a praise if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, bless him real big. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to know, that it's time for us to receive God's forgiveness, but not only should we receive God's forgiveness, but we should also freely give what you have received. Say it with me, I've got to freely give what I've received. See, we have received forgiveness, and some of us are still learning how because we're still trying to do religion. What is religion? That's trying to do it in my own strength, trying to satisfy God in my own power. You can't do it. That's why the blood of Jesus was shed, because your blood wasn't good enough. Hallelujah. Your best works weren't good enough. That's why Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace being placed upon, chastisement of our peace being placed upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Somebody say amen in this house. Thank you, God. So can I share this? We've got to freely give what you have received. That's why Paul's message, he preached it with so much energy, so much excitement, so much fire. He says, I have a duty to perform and a debt to pay, both to the Greeks. I got to tell everybody in the world that there's this gospel, the good news of the gospel, that your sins can be forgiven. I don't care what you did. I was a blasphemer. He says, I was hostile toward people, but God has changed me and forgiven me and not reminded me of my stuff anymore. How many know that's good news? I mean, that's real good news. Some of us need to embrace that good news. There was a gentleman that we used to minister to, quite a few people from Gateway, and we would send a van over. They would come over, and we still do, but they would come over on Sunday. And this particular time, this was about four of them, and I had some work, and they let them out for the weekend. So I put them to work. At the end of the day, I paid them, I was four of them, paid them all $100. I think it was Miss Francis. She was bookkeeper at the time. She says, Pastor, I see where you gave the four workers $100, but there's one. He must have really worked hard because you gave him $400. And I thought to myself, I ain't get nobody $400. So we looked at the check, and where it was 100, he turned that one into a four. Yeah, and then, you know, I got religious for a minute. Taking the church's money, bless God. How can this be? How can this be? And then God says, don't you address him, don't you? But this is stealing. And so now, how many of you all have ever had to come out of your religion in order to minister to somebody? Well, the next week I saw him. And, religion would say, I'm going to tell you what you did. Holy Spirit said, don't you say anything to him. You love on him. You wrap your arms around him. Well, I saw him say, hey, man, how you doing? And you know how somebody that know they just got you, they be looking down like this. I shook his hand and said, hey, man, how you doing? It's good to see you. I gave him a big old hug, bear hug. Yeah. You want to come to my house after church? We'll watch the game or something like this. I don't think I want to come. I said, no, you need to come on. Come on, I insist. You coming. You're going to eat too. He came over to my house. We ate, had a good time. Then I said, now I'm going to call your mom. He was like, oh. He didn't know what I was going to say. I just said, hey, man, he's doing here. I see him at church on a regular basis. So and so. He didn't know what I said. But then I said, now you should call her. He called her, and his mom did. He says, I hear you're going to church, da-da-da-da-da. Pastor gave me a good report on you. Man, he comes back the next week, and he comes up for prayer, and we pray for him. And then he says, Pastor, I want to volunteer. He begins to volunteer cleaning the church. He begins to volunteer taking care of the bathrooms. He began to volunteer driving the church van. He began to volunteer doing sound for us. And for about 10 to 12 years, he just gave himself in the ministry, and we would look at each other, and we both knew what happened, but neither one of us had to say anything about what went on. Can I let you know that God knows how to fix things? We'll mess them up. Know what? I'm just letting you know that God can handle it much better than you can. Now, can I ask the question? How many of you all need to get out of legalism and into grace? Getting quiet in the religious section. I'm just letting you know that God's plan and the way God handles things is so much better than ours. It's way better than ours. So let me share this. We've got to freely give what you've received. And here's what he says that it's important for us to do. Matthew 8 and 10. You know, talks about, you know, just freely give, freely receive. But Ephesians 4 and 31 is what I want to call your attention to. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Now, guess who he's talking to? The church. He's not talking to the world. This is the church at Ephesus. Did I say it right? Okay, so get rid of all the bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. How many of you know that this sometimes exists in the church? Y'all know any bitter folks? Don't look around. Y'all know any people that are filled with rage and anger, but I'm saved, but I'm mad right now? You know any church folks that have harsh words that will cut you up? Some folks can cut you up. They can cuss you out in the spirit and not use a cuss word. Some people are just gifted. Just whoosh, 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 whoosh. You know any? And some are proud of being able. Let me have him. I got this one. You ain't got to say nothing. I got this one. All type of slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. 30-second verse, please. You got to get rid of this. Instead, so you're moving from bitterness to, and I'm trying to help somebody today, because if you don't get this help, if you continue to operate in bitterness, it's going to pull you down. You will not be happy. You will be unhappy, unfulfilled in life. But if you get away from that place and instead be kind to each other, tender-hearted, for what? Forgiving. Say it louder. Forgiving one another, just as what? God through Christ. If you think of what God has done for you and you forgive like you've been forgiven, it'll make a big difference in your life and in everybody else's life too. Somebody bless him real big in the house. Thank you, God. Man, I feel the power of God right now. I absolutely do. And I understand that some people struggle in this area, but we're talking about passing it forward. That's one of the things. Gifts and acts of kindness, we talked about it last week, but we've got to pass something else. If we've been freely forgiven, then we've got to forgive others as well. Are you with me today? So look at this next passage. They say, well, Pastor, you talk about, you know, freely forgiving other people, but I've got to share this with you. But you don't know what they did to me, and how can I forgive them? That's the question that's asked. And to be truthful, folks, a lot of us have been through a lot of stuff. Can I get a good amen? Amen? You know, we've been through some stuff. And I've, in counseling, and I don't like the counsel, but, you know, sometimes what happens is that some of the stuff we've been through, there's still hurts and pains and wounds based upon what's happened to us. And, you know, one particular individual, I sat at his bedside. He was preparing to pass from this life to the next. And he says, Pastor, I've got to do some forgiving. And he says, you don't know it, but my mother is also my sister. And I said, explain that. He said, well, my father raped my 12-year-old sister, and I'm the result of it. So his father was his father and the girl's father. I said, wow. And he was hurt, broken. He said, they didn't really want me. He said, but I'm here. And I've been trying to deal with this. How many of you know if you don't get over some things, it can really wreck your life? Talk to another young man. I'll call him Ray Ray for short. Don't say his full name. But he told me that he says, when I was born, I was left in a garbage dump, actually in the actual dumpster. And they found me there because nobody wanted me. Can you imagine the hurt, the pain? And many of us are going through life with wounds. Can I preach today? How do we relate to people? How do we get up every day when you feel like you're not wanted, that you feel like you're not valued? Can I let you know the Bible says that his thoughts toward us are amazing? The Bible lets us know that we're the apple of his eye. The Bible lets us know that we are his masterpieces. He created us before the very foundation of time for his purpose and his plan. And we need to tell ourselves that over and over again. Why? Because the enemy's going to tell you something else. But one time I had an opportunity to speak into this man's life, and he's a grown man crying like a baby. Why? Because the hurt, the pain is there. The church is called to be ministers. We're called to be healing. We're called to be the ones that mend the breach. Are you with me today? And if they can't come to the church, where can they go to? And when they come, we can't look down our nose at them. But we've got to embrace them and tell them that you are somebody and God will use you. I don't care what you've been through. Somebody give God a good praise in this house. Bitterness is a tormenting spirit. It absolutely is. And we've got to get past that. So forgiveness, people would say, well, you don't know what they did to me. And how can I forgive them? Well, can I let you know that forgiveness, first of all, is not minimizing what they did to you, nor the seriousness of what they did to you. Did you get that? So forgiveness, some say, well, if I got to forgive them even for what they did to me, you know, are you saying that what they did wasn't hurtful? Oh, no, it was hurtful. And it's important for us to know that. It's important for us to recognize that this hurt me. It was pain. But the thing about it is, when they start off that you don't know what they did to me, you know, can I just share with you? Usually they're going to end up telling you what they did to you, rehearsing it, because I want to let you know how bad I was hurt. And sometimes that's okay, but you can't live there. Whoo! Y'all still with me? Joyce Myers talks about the fact that and we were in, I think it was, Jeets and I were in, speaking of that, jump back to my story, speaking of some of you up, pray, say, well, where's Jeeta? Jeeta is with Sue Sheriff, Dwayne Sheriff, and Andrew Womack there in Colorado Springs. He just sent some kind of video of them having a good time. And then you all say, Pastor, why didn't you go? They didn't ask me. If they had asked me, I would have went. But they said it was a girl's thing. I then said, why is Dwayne there? Well, he's got to speak. And then, why is Andrew there? No, moving on. I forgave him, no doubt about it. But back to my story that I was saying that, what was I saying? Oh, Joyce Myers. Yeah, we were in Florida, and we were sitting right next to her, somebody that Jeeta knows is right close and all that stuff. Anyway, got a chance to talk to her, and she was sharing that she's going to share a particular story that night that it impacted so many people in the congregation. Every time she shares it, she says about, 70 to 80% of the people, respond to it. And she began to tell the story, and she began to say that, when she was a little girl, she got raped more than 200 times. You know, I'm thinking like, man, oh man, have you ever thought about what somebody went through and how you can't imagine the pain of it? You know, you, in your heart, you're like saying, how could you still maintain that, but yet and still preach the gospel and yet and still be able to forgive somebody and recognize that, yeah, what they did wasn't all right, but you can't continue to hold that over their head. And I'm thinking that if she could forgive her father for that, how much more can I forgive the people that stole my bike or whatever? Somebody give God praise in the house. Thank you, Jesus. So we're not minimizing what they did nor the seriousness of the offense. And forgiveness is not reconciliation. Reconciliation is different than forgiveness. You know, it can come together, it can, but not always. And sometimes I don't even recognize or recommend reconciliation at the end of every offense. Are you with me today? It's getting quiet in the out there. But we don't minimize the offense. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you've got to call them up the next day. Forgiveness doesn't mean you got to go over their house. Forgiveness doesn't mean that, you know, he did something to a child and you just send the child over the next time. That's foolishness. Are you with me today? So it doesn't mean, you know, it's not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened to you. Say it with me, forgiveness is not forgetting what happened to me. Some people told a lie, and even in church, try to tell them, well, if you really forgave me, you would have forgotten it. No, I don't forget. Every time I see you, I think of what happened. But forgiveness is releasing you and not holding it over your head as a debt that you owe. Are you with me today? Somebody give God praise in this house. God, my God. I wish someone had told me this, because I grew up thinking that if I still remember, I haven't forgiven. And they would say, well, you really haven't forgiven. No, I've forgiven you, but it still hurts on occasions. And I pray that one day our church will be a place of healing, that people can come in and openly talk about what happened to them. But God is going to be there to bring forth healing. He healed me. He'll heal you also, because he will help you overcome this. And your testimony will be a blessing to all those that are going through what you went through. Somebody give God a praise in this house. He's God. Whew. Can I let you know that trust, you know, and this is my last one on here. We'll move on. I got one more. Trust has to be earned, but forgiveness doesn't. You can't earn forgiveness. You know, you say, well, I'll forgive you when. No. Forgiveness is not for that person anyway. Forgiveness is for you. If you want to operate in freedom, man, let people go. Release them in the name of Jesus and watch freedom just take place in your life. Thank you, God. Are y'all still with me? One of my favorite scriptures is this. This is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I like Psalms 103:10 too. It says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Aren't you glad he didn't deal with you according to your sins? Man, if I had been dealt with according to my sins, I wouldn't even be here. But God, I thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord. And then there's Galatians 6:1. It says, if a person be overtaken, y'all know this, in a fault, restore such a person what? In the spirit of meekness. It didn't say, here's what sometimes Christians do. Well, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to be watching you, and you are, I know you're a rascal, and I don't you be thinking this. I mean, just give them the whole, I mean, make you feel worse. But the Bible says if a person is overtaken in a trespass or a fault, it says you which are spiritual, somebody say, I'm spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering yourself. If that had been you, at least you also be tempted. My last passage, are you getting this? This is going to help some of us during this season, because the enemy will not be able to exercise authority over you or to be able to gain access to you because you've refused to. Because some of us have decisions to make as far as what family member you're going to dodge this year. Who you not going to give a gift to. How you're going to be out of town so you can have a legitimate excuse for not seeing that person. Are we doing okay? Matthew 18 says this. Then Peter came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times, he asked. No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but seven times 70, 490 times, or divided up in about three times per minute. Now, you're getting on my nerve now. Every 3 minutes, come on. So maybe it's not about the number of times, but perhaps it's about the heart of releasing people regardless of how many times they come and offend you. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date. And there's nothing wrong with bringing your accounts up to date. With a servant who had borrowed money from him. And if that would ever to take place in America, America is the most indebted country in the world. Yes, I said it. We owe, I think the last check was $20 trillion. In this process, the debtor was brought to who owed him millions of dollars, and he couldn't pay back. So the master ordered that he should be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine owing that many millions? There's no way you could pay it back. But the man fell down before his master and began to beg him, please, please, please be patient with me, and I will pay you all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave him his debt. Now, see, folks, this is the heart of God. If you ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you. I don't care what you've done, how many times you've done it, he'll set you free. Can I get a good amen in the house? But the same man that had been forgiven much, that's why, folks, I always want to err on the side of grace. If some people say, well, you need to be harder on people, you need to give them judgment. You're too easy on people, pastor. You need to be tougher on them. I tell them, see, you don't understand where I've come from. You don't understand where I've been. You don't understand how many times I messed up. So therefore, when I think about how many times I mess up, those that have been truly forgiven, they know how to forgive. If you want to exercise tough punishment on them, you do that. Well, I'm going to love them. I don't care. I'm going to have grace on them. Somebody say amen in the house. It's getting quiet in the judgment section, but I don't need judgment. I need mercy in the house. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, God. But the same man that just received so much mercy and compassion from the king, the Bible says that man left the king. He went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. And he grabbed him by the throat and demanded, pay me my money. Can you imagine somebody just in the posture, please, please forgive me. Next thing you know, pay me my money. You were just forgiven, but now you're trying to punk somebody out and bully somebody when you just got forgiven? That's why nobody in the church should ever look down their nose at anybody. None of you should ever say, you pay me, you are not worthy. No, you've been forgiven much, and you need to forgive others much. Somebody give God a praise in this house. I mean, bless him real good. Are there any pay me my money folks in the house? I know you're not going to raise your hand. Religion is, I didn't do as bad as you did. Therefore, you need judgment, but God understands me. Come on, somebody. That's why, if I'm guilty of anything, I want to be guilty of having too much grace, having too much mercy, understanding where a person is. I want to say, yeah, I understand where you are. We've got to put, Lord help me. Can I let you know that some of us need to stop judging people until we see where they come from and begin to say, wow, if I had been through that, I might be just like you. But I thank God that he's protected me. He's kept me covered, and he's been always there for me. Somebody bless him in this place. Y'all can stand your feet up. I'm done. But the fellow servant that was there and saw the man beg, you know, he saw what was happening, and he got upset. And then he went to the king and said, King, you know what? That dude who you let go, he's not a good dude. He's an evil servant. Because you forgave him of the tremendous debt. Because he pleaded with you. The Bible says the king called the man in. And this would be not a good meeting with the king. He said, hey, boy, paraphrasing, that I just forgave all this money? He said, since I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? How many of you all got some people you need to have mercy on? So you need to have mercy on. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Well, guess what? He would never be able to pay the debt. 35th and final verse says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Can I share with you today that I believe that God wants some of you all to forgive some people and release them? And in doing that, you're going to go to a whole nother level. You're going to go higher. Your faith, your energy, your attitude, it's going to totally change. Why? Because you've released all that stuff and let it go. Because you can't hold somebody else down without you being down with them. God wants to do a new thing on the inside of you. No, how many of you believe that?